is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik, filling in for Mark Haney. Coming up later on the show, we'll hear some of the things you should know during the current Affordable Care Act health insurance marketplace open enrollment period. Starting off today, we take a look at growing movements to enact positive economic and social change in communities on a local level. An upcoming conference at Xavier University is designed to highlight the importance and foster the growth of the economy in individual neighborhoods. Joining us to discuss the Neighborhood Economics Conference and efforts to create opportunities and economic options in local communities are Dean of Christ Church Cathedral, Reverend Gail Greenwell, co-founder of Mortar, a business incubator focusing on individuals in underserved and redeveloping communities, Derek Brazil, and author and consultant Peter Block. You can join the conversation. Call us at 513-419-7100. You can email us, talk@wvxu.org. or find us on Facebook and Twitter. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Certainly glad to have you all here today. I was intrigued by the whole idea of a neighborhood economics conference. And maybe, Gail, you can start out explaining what is neighborhood economics.
Well, I think we have to start with asking ourselves the question, what's an economy for? I mean, what was it designed? Who was it designed to benefit? And I think we all could reasonably answer that the economy that we currently have isn't well serving everyone. There's a great deal of inequity. And so the idea of neighborhood economics is the idea of moving away from the individualized consumer mentality of what an economy might be for and more into something that I think many faith communities hold very dear, which is something that we do collectively and to benefit all. So the conference with my good friends sitting here with me is something we've been discussing for a long time. And neighborhoods are, I think, the baseline of our society. If not the family, then certainly the neighborhood. And we need to rediscover what that means for us to be neighbors. And that certainly is a concept that is part of our faith tradition. We ask the question, who is my neighbor? And how do we love neighbor as well as self?
Derek?
Yeah, I think that Gail really hit on it. We want to change the discussion on what it means to live in a world with the economy that we have. I think Cincinnati is a wonderful place. I think we all share that sentiment about Cincinnati. But at the same time, there are people who live in the city who have really big ideas, who want to start a business, but they're not connected to the resources that they need to start businesses. And statistically, there was just an article that was published in Forbes this year, Forbes magazine, and it said that African Americans in Cincinnati, our city ranks 50th out of 52 other cities in terms of how African Americans fare economically. With a city that has a higher proportion of African Americans, it's just a challenge when you read these statistics and understand that there are people who absolutely have all the talent in the world to start businesses that can change the world. So I hope that this conference can help people redefine what it means to live in a neighborhood, to have businesses, and hopefully we can all come together collectively to ensure that all those entrepreneurs, regardless of their race, their background, anything, could have opportunities to be successful.
Peter?
You know, we've been working on this for a long time. And there's a national movement, local, 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 neighborhood, neighborhood. Most of it is aimed at people who have collateral and people who have credentials. And so the lower strata, Cincinnati's got about 8 neighborhoods in decline or disinvested, whatever you call them. They're not part of that conversation. And so what's unique about this and why I was excited to have this come to Cincinnati is how do we accelerate the flow of capital into poor neighborhoods to sustain those neighborhoods? Because most of our effort is to take people who are struggling and extract them from the neighborhoods, go to school, get training, straighten your hat, pull up your pants, and we'll get you into the mainstream. And the neighborhoods are abandoned. And so all the economic development, all the excitement in Cincinnati, the renaissance of Cincinnati, hasn't touched these neighborhoods. So our real intent is to say, how do we marriage venture capital, entrepreneurial capital, merit-based investments with people, residents in these neighborhoods so they have an economic vitality.
What are some of the 8 neighborhoods you're talking about?
Well, you know, the usual Avondale, Elmwood Place, Rosedale, West End, parts remaining of Over the Rhine. And so, you know, we all disagree exactly which the 8 neighborhoods are, but they're pretty, and you can tell them real easy, because when you go in these neighborhoods, there's empty storefronts, and there's young people standing on the corner. And so let's do something about that, but do it on a merit-based entrepreneurial basis, and get those people together. As Derek says, have venture, get different kind of money. Because if you go to foundations, Port Authority, all the major, they've been investing in these neighborhoods for a long time, but mostly it's in housing, trying to get businesses. And so that's the idea, is let's find a new source of funding for entrepreneurs who we thought were uncredentialed and not collateralized.
Well, when you talk about trying to bring businesses into these neighborhoods, what businesses are looking for in general is a return on their investment. Right. And it's a little more risky to move into this type of a neighborhood. What can you do to help the folks that want to do that so they will see a return on their investment?
Well, go ahead, Derek.
My response from that would be that there is already talent that is in the community. So it's not necessarily about moving into a community. It's about enhancing what is already present within the community. I think what we're trying to do with this conference is very similar to something I've learned with gardening. I've been told that you place cardboard on your soil, and the purpose of the cardboard is that it activates the earthworms, right? And they come to the surface and they help fertilize the soil. I think what we're trying to do here is to fertilize the soil of these communities, because there are people that are already operating in businesses. They're just the underground, the informal economy, right? And those businesses, in my opinion, are just as important as some of the other traditional businesses.
Well, give me an example of that. What do you mean the underground economy? Are we talking about drugs, or are you talking about something else?
Okay. I'm talking about people that may have a talent for cutting hair. So they cut hair in their living room. Maybe there's a person who makes the best pumpkin pie in the world. So she makes pumpkin pies in her kitchen. Maybe there's a person who hustles in, shovels snow, or washes windows, or mows lawns. Those are something that you would consider more of the informal underground economy. And those people, if you gave them the training and you gave them the access, could start businesses on the same level as other people. I think the challenge is just that you may see them and they may look differently from you. There's something that is called the premental cognitive commitment. And the premental cognitive commitment is something that we all do as human beings, where we may see something and we may place a label on it just because of something we've experienced in the past. An example I could give is a shoe. So most of us wear shoes. We see a shoe, we think, that's something I've worn on my foot, takes me from point A to point B. I've done some research, and there are actually 16 other uses for a shoe. It can be used if you're scared at night as a weapon. I've been told you can use it to open a bottle of wine. If your paper keeps flying away, it's a paperweight. In the same way, there are people that are living in these communities that operate in this informal underground economy who have all the same skill sets as other people. They just may look differently. And again, what I think we're trying to do with this conference, with all the other momentum around the conference, is identify who those people are, connect them with the resources. So it's not about bringing in other people and importing. It's about exporting what is already in the communities and that's already operating at a level of success.
So you talk about the person who makes really good pumpkin pie. You were talking, instead of her making or him making those pumpkin pies in the kitchen of their home, instead they open up a little bakery? Is that the type of thing you're talking about?
So a great example I can give is, so more to the organization that I've helped found and I'm now helping run, we provide a 9-week business training accelerator for entrepreneurs that we believe is exactly the kind of people we're trying to help here. There's a woman who was in our first class. We've done 3 of them so far, and her name is Naya Higgins. And Naya is a wonderful person, and she always had this vision of starting a vegan, vegetarian, soul food restaurant. And she approached us with her idea, and we said, okay, let's work on it. So we went through our program. Every week she'd bring us food. One day she brought us vegan cheese conies. I had no idea this was possible, but she brought them, and they were delicious, right? But she was already doing that in her kitchen. She was already cooking food in a very social setting, very casual setting, and her food was delicious. She just had not transitioned from that informal economy into a formal traditional economy. So by her participating in our program, she then incorporated her business, had access to some investment capital, and now she had just opened a restaurant at Finley Market. And the great thing about her story is that Naya was homeless. A year ago, she was homeless, right? And I mentioned this premental cognitive commitment because you would see her and you may think she's homeless, she's made mistakes, she's not going to have anything viable to contribute to society, but she had a skill, she had a passion. All she needed was that bridge to be connected to those resources. And now, again, she's operating a restaurant in Finley Market and the sky's the limit for her. And I think that is a microcosm of a much larger conversation of what other people like her are now not being given access to resources, and we're missing out on a huge amount of opportunities. As Peter mentioned, these 8 neighborhoods have vacant storefronts. I would venture to say that there are people in these communities that can occupy those storefronts if we, as people who are operating on the other side of that bridge, can provide them with the resources to join us on the other side.
Reverend Grimo, how do you go about finding these people?
Well, one of the things that we're considering doing is using someone like Derek as what we're calling a community quarterback, somebody who's out there linking those resources. He's been very intentional about talking about the mentoring and the classes in accounting and financial literacy and banking and all the things that any other entrepreneur would need to be successful. But we also want to be connecting the entrepreneurs with those who would like to make investments, because there are socially responsible, caring investors who don't want to just have a Wall Street connection. They want to have a Main Street connection. And that's really where our idea of employing a community quarterback can make a huge difference. Someone who knows the community, who is connected to the community, and can make the connections between investors and those struggling entrepreneurs who might not have access or be able to take advantage of traditional means of financing and expanding their businesses. I think it's what Derek's saying is so critical. We are not talking about importing, chain restaurants into our neighborhoods. We're talking about raising up the entrepreneurs that already exist and who need a hand up into being successful. That's what's going to make our neighborhoods. We're going to build out the ecosystem that already exists.
You talk about the whole idea of the economics of the background, the teaching them how to run a business and all those sorts of things. There's a lot involved in that. Getting them started, that class gets them started. Is there a follow-up to check in to say, are you paying your taxes? Do you know how to fill out all the forms you need to do? Are you making sure that the health department has come in and inspected the restaurant? Those sorts of things.
That's the bigger question. So we all know the statistics. Mm-hmm. 95% of new businesses, mostly because when they leave Derek's course, and there's 10 different accelerator courses, 10 different in the city, then they say, do the best you can. So we also have to create a trade association. We have to create a network of support. Anytime there's a change in any transformation, of us, if we don't have a group to support us ongoing, we don't have a chance. So part of the work is to say, how do we create social capital? How do we surround every one of these people, wherever they are in the pipeline? And we have a lot of business accelerators. You know, the Chamber has a minority business accelerator, Centrifuge. But we're looking at a group of people that don't have those resources. And so half of the work is to create a network of support. And I think the faith community is going to be a source for that. That's why it's great to have Gail and other churches. And we started a group called Economics of Compassion and say, look at, there's a place to put your money. There's a way to spend your money that supports an alternative economy is the really larger picture.
We'll continue our discussion of providing economic opportunities at the local neighborhood level in just a moment. You can join the conversation by calling us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. We're talking about the Neighborhood Economics Conference and efforts to create economic opportunities and options in neighborhoods. Joining me are Dean of Christ Church Cathedral, Reverend Gail Greenwell, co-founder of Mortar, a business incubator focusing on individuals in underserved and redeveloping communities, Derek Brazil, and author and consultant Peter Block. You can call 513-419-7100 to join our conversation. Email talk at WVXU.org. You also can find us on Facebook and Twitter. And we were talking before the break a little bit about the whole idea of getting people to want to invest in the community. And we talked earlier about the return on investments. But is there a lot of money really out in the community for this? And where do you even start to approach people to say, hey, this is a good place to put your money?
Well, there's enormous resources in the community. Most of it is aimed at social services. And so the Community Foundation, I mean, there's 10 different groups that do amazing things. We're trying to shift the thinking and say, well, maybe there's a social merit-based investment you can make with the money that you have. Now, the returns may not be the venture capital 10x, 10 times what I invest, a short time. You know, the venture capital mindset isn't right for this, but a lot of people with wealth want to combine their generosity with something that does is sustainable and returns some money to them, maybe slower, more patient money. And I think a lot of us feel that to keep buying fundraising tables isn't changing the conditions. So I see social services as kind of a triage. Let's make sure you have a house. Let's make sure you have food. Let's make sure you have health care, but it doesn't change the conditions. It's like going to a battlefield and helping people that are wounded, but you don't stop the war. So the search for another economy, another basis for it, is really to change the conditions. And those conditions, we're saying, is economic. And to me, it's the intersection between the faith community and not necessarily the churches, but people of faith, people who want to see a different world, a more equitable world. And the world of economics, because the world of economics has mostly been a scarcity mentality. And we're trying to shift that and say there is enough. There's enough to go around in this city, especially if people get connected, if they know who they're giving to. If Nia or Mo or all the people we can find who have talent and skill, if we find out who they are, we're going to want to invest in them.
We had an email from a listener who wanted to know how fans of the initiative can express their solidarity and what roles they can take to help out.
Well, they can come to the conference on a week from Tuesday and Wednesday and show up. It's at Xavier Gallagher Theater. Come. We're not going to, there's a cost to it, but we're not going to turn anybody away. The real way they can do is to see their dollar as a political act. And say, where am I going to spend my dollars? So I want to have people spend their dollars so that it stays in the city. So this local movement is an economic movement. So put your money into co-ops. Put your money where the food is doesn't have to travel 3,000 miles. Put your money in local independent stores. And so we're really trying to shift our thinking about how to use the wealth that we have.
How do they even start, though? If someone's listening right now and they say, you know what, I want to help. I want to find the vegan restaurant, or I want to find somebody that wants to start something up, and I want to invest in that. Do they do that by coming to the conference, or where do they go?
I think a great start is by coming to the conference. I think the conference is going to bring together a lot of the people who are on the ground and kind of understand the ecosystem and the landscape of entrepreneurial activity in Cincinnati. But I think at the same time, it's also important to get informed around who is actually doing the work right now. Again, Peter mentioned earlier that there are several other organizations that are operating in the same space that Mortar is operating in. I think our challenge moving forward is creating the infrastructure so that we know what that pipeline looks like. So whether you're a person who is you have an idea and you're staying up at night, or you're waking up early in the morning because you just can't get away from this idea, or you're a person who has multi-million dollar returns every year, I think it's really important for us to kind of understand what that infrastructure looks like so that people who do want to get plugged in, they know where the place is for them to get plugged in. I would be remiss not to also plug the organization that I'm helping represent. We have a marketplace we're opening in Walnut Hills over the holidays. And the purpose of this marketplace is we want to give these entrepreneurs that we're working with an opportunity to actually sell their wares, to get some exposure to the community, and ultimately to also give the community a chance to invest their dollars locally. So it's a 10,000 square foot former Dollar City building. And what we've done is we've done some renovations to the space. So we're going to have a front space where vendors can actually sell their wares.
Walnut Hills?
Yes. It's in Walnut Hills, which is another redeveloping community that has a lot of momentum going for it. So the front of it is going to be a space for people to sell their wares. The back is an art gallery and a film screening room so that people, again, if they have an idea, if they do something creative, whatever it might be, there's a place for them, a brick-and-mortar location for them to get some exposure, to give folks who want to invest their dollars locally to actually do that.
So let me be really specific. First thing you can do is not shop at a big box store because 30, 40 cents of every dollar leaves town. So that's real simple to implement. Second is start buying your food at community-supported agriculture. Look up CSAs, go online. Our Harvest is one I'm very familiar with. And so just think about how are you using your dollars. You can do that this afternoon. And then, you know, then the larger thing, just support the local economy and start getting informed. You know, start listening to shows like this and say, how can we create and build a local economy that serves everybody?
Is there a location where people on the web, for example, or somewhere else can look and look for the types of folks that your organization is supporting, Derek, or others, where they can say, I want to go, I don't have a lot of money to invest, but gosh, I can go eat at that restaurant or I can go shop. Is there a clearinghouse of where they could find those?
Well, one is econofcompassion.org. And we've collected about 250 different groups in this city that seem to align with this alternative cooperative economy, econofcompassion.org. And I'm sure soon we'll find that on NPR.
On our WVXU website.
And so we're just getting started. Part of the reason for this conference is to bring us together. There's so many siloed efforts of everybody caring deeply about social justice, about neighborhoods, but it's mostly siloed. And I think one of our real reasons underneath the promotion of it all is to say, why don't we come together and organize our efforts around place?
Yes, and I think it's important. We've been focusing quite a bit on the businesses, the struggling entrepreneurs, and on the consumers wanting a place to go. But I think it's incredibly important for us to emphasize that there is going to be a place for the investors to come together. So this conference, the 17th and 18th at Xavier, is a marketplace, really, for connecting investors who care about socially responsible investment and capitalization to meet entrepreneurs and in a networking marketplace kind of environment. I think the way we consume is so critically important. We can't emphasize that enough. But how we connect investors with young entrepreneurs, struggling entrepreneurs, the ones that exist in this economy that are hidden, as Derek has been mentioning, is also very critical. I don't want to lose sight of the social capital.
This is Cincinnati Edition. We're listening today on 91.7 WVXU. Thanks to Carrie Holohan for listening to 91.7 WVXU today. Well, you talk about the idea of bringing the investors together, and I think people define an investor differently. You think, first of all, as I think, Peter, you mentioned, the people that have millions of dollars that they have to spend around, or you have people that have tens of thousands of dollars that maybe they want to invest. What about the people that have a couple thousand dollars that they want to join in with somebody else? I mean, are you talking about investors of all income levels?
Yeah, there are. There's a slow money group. They can look that up on the web. And most co-ops like Clifton Market or Harvest, you can park your money there. So if you got $200, you've got $1,000, you can loan it to them, higher interest rates than you're getting now. And so all of these agents, all these co-ops are a parking lot for funds you don't need right away. And in 2 or 3 years, you get your money back. And so there's a return. And so the fact that these investments, loans, return your money makes the whole system sustainable. And they're all around. You just need to start thinking co-op.
And it can be as much as just a couple hundred dollars.
A couple hundred dollars will make you a member of Clifton Market.
So there's an organization, LISC, the Local Initiative Support Corporation. They're pioneering something called, it's micro-lending essentially, and the program is called Kiva Zip. And what Kiva Zip does, it provides entrepreneurs, often the ones who are uncollateralized, an opportunity to get a crowdfunded microloan from peers across the world. So the way that it works is that you have to find around 20 to 25 people, and they all invest $25 as a loan into your business. That then activates a public profile, which you can then use to have investors from all around the world invest in your business. So if you can afford an investment of $25, then you can directly make a loan, a 0% interest loan into a business. And you can see the return on investment as you, if you live locally, then you could see that every single day if you wanted to. So I think the idea of having to have millions of dollars, even thousands of dollars, we're starting to shift away from that more towards what Gail said, a more localized neighborhood focus, where if you have $25, you can indirectly invest into a business.
I want to go now to a call from Westwood. This is Minifer. Hi, Minifer. What's your question?
Yes, my question is, one thing I've seen as an entrepreneur, I've seen that the city has not embraced people who are outsiders, such as myself. I'm originally from Chicago, and I've been here for 5 years as an entrepreneur. And what I've seen that it's been very tough to be able to penetrate the market. Because one of the first questions that you get in Cincinnati is, what high school did you go to?
Thoughts about that? We just have a couple minutes left.
Hey, I'm a transplant, too. I get it.
So am I.
Yeah. Well, that's why this is a citizen-driven initiative. You know, people in government, publics, everything they can. But we're going to create a sense of hospitality. We're welcoming strangers in this process. It doesn't matter where you went to high school. This is for people without friends and family to get them started.
Would it make sense for Minifer to come to the conference, do you think?
Minifer, I want to see you there. I don't want to hear any excuses.
And come find me, Minifer.
Thanks so much for your call. We really appreciate it. We just have a minute or two left to wrap things up. Very briefly at the conference, how long will it last? What can people expect? Was it like several hours? Is it, you know,
2 days?
Okay, 2 days. That's right.
It's ten to five.
But you have to come to the whole thing. You can't just come to bits and pieces.
You might have to pay for the whole thing, but just come for part of it, get a taste of it. It's 10 to
I'm aware of people that are splitting tickets, one person coming one day and the other coming the next day. The more you put in, the more you're going to get out, clearly, but it's possible. We've offered, the cathedral's offered several scholarships to different faith teams that are going to come together from as far away as Columbus. So everybody's trying to redefine what it means to be neighbor. And I also want to plug the fact that there's all kinds of ways to make an investment in this. It's not just the resources of money. It's the resources of imagination and mentoring and coaching time. We've got all kinds of opportunities to be involved in this.
And you will hear at this conference where these ideas are working.
We do have information about it on our website, wvxu.org. You can go to the Cincinnati Edition page. Thank you all for being here. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Marianne.
We've been discussing the importance of providing economic options and opportunities within individual neighborhoods. Our guests have been Dean of Christ Church Cathedral, Reverend Gail Greenwell, co-founder of Mortar, a business incubator focusing on individuals in underserved and redeveloping communities, Derek Brazil, and author and consultant Peter Block. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. The Neighborhood Economics Conference will be held November 17th and 18th at Xavier University. And as we said, you can find a link to more information on our website, wvxu.org. When we continue the program, a look at what you should know about purchasing health insurance during the current Affordable Care Act open enrollment period. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.